All right, here we go.
How are we doing?
I'm fine. Sad enough this will be the last one.
I know.
You know.
You mean this year?
This year, exactly. This will be the last one this year that I get a chance to come here and visit with you all.
Hey, with respect to Jameis, we talked about how, you know, especially in the last few weeks, he's cut down on turnovers. He had two really highly rated games in terms of interceptions. But now the fumbles have become a thing. Is that the same as interceptions, where every fumble has its own story, or is this something that's got to be something to watch now with him?
Oh, I think it does. I mean, it's still a turnover. There's no running rating for a quarterback. You know, we're okay. We deduct for turnovers, but it still is catastrophic for your team. It still puts you in a real bind. And the things you like about Jameis is the way he extends plays and the competitive nature that he has about him. So, you know, we've scored the last 2 weeks on scrambles where he's escaped and hit Adam the week before and Bobo this week. So you like that part of it. With that being said, you know, I think for a while Ben Roethlisberger had that. You know, he made a lot of plays, but he was also one of the high guys in terms of fumbles, which that, you know, if you're not throwing the ball away and you're trying to extend plays, that's going to happen. So obviously it's a point of emphasis every week. And it's something that has stopped us, like any turnover, from scoring as much as we've needed to score.
Another thing that was a problem on Sunday was red zone efficiency. I think he had 6 trips inside the 20 and only 1 touchdown out of that. Obviously, that's something you guys have dealt with all year with teams ramping up their coverage of Mike as you guys get closer to the end zone. Were there specific things you would point to Sunday as to why things didn't work in the red zone?
Well, it usually comes down to lack of execution. I don't know what else you say about it. I mean, when you don't score down there, some way, shape, or form, we got outplayed, we got outcoached. I mean, there's no other way to put it. And we had one other opportunity where, you know, at the end with the field goal, that we controlled the ability at the end of the game to score. And it's frustrating. You know, you know, after we got the holding call early, right before the half, we have Chris. He may be just a hair wheel inside. If Jameis just has a little bit more patience, you know, you can pinpoint to all of those drives and say, you know, hey, we threw a go route to Chris on Mike's side. He wins, but we're on that side. Yeah. And no one really cares. Bottom line is we didn't do it well enough. We moved the ball fine, very similar to Green Bay in that respect from a standpoint of playing well enough defensively. We turn it over that lead to points, and then we have special teams miscues that leads to putting us in a tough spot. But ultimately, you know, you're going to have a hard time winning, especially where we're at as a team at this point, kicking a bunch of field goals.
Is there any concern about any kind of distraction with Deshaun this week with what this report of his car being wrecked at the International Plaza?
That's hard for me to say, just because it's not a distraction to me. I mean, I had nothing to do with it, you know.
Has he talked about it?
Not to me. So we go in the meeting rooms and we talk football and how are you feeling? You know, can we get you some reps today? You ready to go? Let's finish the year the right way. But what's talked amongst the players? I don't know.
It's entirely normal for an injured player not to travel if you know he's inactive on Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's happened. If guys, you know, in terms of not traveling, I mean, you know, Robert Ayers didn't travel. He didn't go with us as well. So there's been times guys have gone, and there's times where guys haven't. That really? That's all we got. Man, this is awesome.
I actually got one more.
All right.
You talked about it, I mean, very, very vocal about it a couple of weeks ago about the relationship between Dirk and Jameis, in terms of just where he started, I know you weren't here the first year, but that working, not the relationships as much as how he's improved under Dirk. I mean, can you discuss just Dirk's ability to teach the game? Because Jameis had a pretty high IQ, at least mm-hmm. from a college standpoint, but he's learned a lot about pro football, I would think, from Dirk, right?
No doubt. And he came from a good system. You know, he had a really good, you know, start with Jimbo, you know, who runs a similar style, pro style. So that obviously gave him a start. But that's not the end all, because there's been other guys come out of that system that haven't flourished either. So, but a good start, you know, Jameis, very intelligent, wants to be a really good player, takes it to heart, really knowing the offense, where to go with the ball and protections. There's a lot to put on a guy's plate that can paralyze you if you're not careful. A young quarterback, it can. You've got a lot. You've got the weight of a franchise that needs dying to win, and it's put on him a lot, and having to fight through all of that. But I do think that from a system standpoint, you can see Jameis get more and more comfortable the more healthy he is, the more consistent we are protection-wise, route running-wise. So, you know, it's hard not to see that part of it. And it's still a work in progress. And like we've talked about, hanging on to the football, throwing it down the field with better pace, better accuracy, understanding where we're going to be. But there's no denying that there is improvement there, and when he's been healthy, and that will always stunt a young man's growth. But, you know, we talked about it before. I mentioned it. You know, it's our job is to coach guys and to try to get the most out of them and create the best version we can of them. That's the pride we take as coaches and coaching players, to see them take what we coach in the meeting room onto the field. And when that happens, there's no greater pride you get as a coach watching that happen, and no greater disappointment when it doesn't. That's part of what you do.
Two things he came into the league that people questioned, I think, a little bit, were his ability to protect the football, which we've discussed, and his maturity or emotion, if you will. How far has he come with either of those?
Boy, that's... Considering the last game we just had, that's a pretty obvious question of like, well, we obviously didn't protect it, and he got fired up. He's a highly competitive young man. I mean, and, you know, the most frustrated people on a given team are the ones that feel so tied to the wins and losses. Coaching, quarterback. That's where you're going to feel it. And so when that occurs and he's competitive and he comes out of the pile with the ball, or something occurs where it gets the best of him, I mean, that's just who he is. Now, you know, that's going to continue to, in my opinion, subside as he keeps playing. Like a lot of things, he'll improve in those areas. But, you know, like all of us, when you're tied to the winning and the losing, and let's not kid ourselves, not everybody is. You know, players at times are really tied to their skill set. And yet the guys tied most to winning and losing is coaching and quarterbacks. And so that's where you're going to get that from. And so that's what you love about him. You love that about him. And you know, and it's just a matter of time before, hopefully, you know, that doesn't become, you know, something to where, you know, we're constantly talking about this. The turnovers, they're going to occur now and then, but the other part, you know, you keep trying to move forward.
Do you think that that outburst happens if this would have been, say, the third game of the season? Do you think it was kind of a culmination of the frustration of the season and the fact that, you know, he was on a personal losing streak as a starting quarterback?
I don't think at that moment. I don't think. Maybe some other things, but not that. Not on the field. That was a moment of he thought he had the ball. I mean, maybe it might have been a frustration of the fumble and the way the game ended, that one particular game in that moment, but not maybe so much the season. But you'd have to ask him. That'd be hard for me to say.
You've done this a long time. You're from a family of coaches. I know this is probably one of the more difficult aspects of the profession, is the uncertainty of a staff's future, if you will, and how public that can be. You guys seem pretty good about compartmentalizing that and again, focusing on Sunday and New Orleans and such. How tough is that? I mean, even if you're used to it.
You know, the way I look at it, you know, I think it's harder on your families because they're the ones that have to move. It is what we choose to do. And there has been plenty of times, you know, throughout any career as a coach where it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, we're paid to win. That's the nature of what we do. And when you don't, it's tough. It's not about the job. It's not about job security. It's about everything you put into it. More than, I'm going to still coach. And that's the greatest thing about coaching. These players, they got this small window to make money. I'm getting better as a coach. My body's not. I can't play, but you can still coach. So that part of it, that doesn't bother me. The thing that bothers you is when you put everything into it and then it doesn't show up on film the way you want it to look and the way you feel like you're coaching it and teaching it. That of the thing. But the reality is, once we come in the building, I don't think of it at all. I think about what we've got to do this week to continue to get our guys to play. And I think our offensive staff has done a great job of that because we have continued to play. And as pros and as men, we've continued to compete. That is a credit to our coaches and our players. On one, I can only speak to what I see, and that's our side of the ball. So with that being said, I can't speak to each man because I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it from our coaches. I haven't seen it from our players. You know, we're all under the gun. That's part of what we do as players and coaches. We're all paid to perform in one way, shape, or form. And when that doesn't happen, then that's part of the business. That is what you have to deal with.
Coach, when we're out there, you can see what you pour into this. Do you enjoy the off season, or does it kind of drive you crazy waiting?
I hate being away from the players. I absolutely hate being away from the players. That's the most fun in my mind, what I have in coaching. Now, after 16 straight weeks, am I a little bit worn out? You bet. You know, and the frustration that we've had. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't find a way to pick myself up in the morning and say, let's go. You know, I owe it to what I'm paid to do. But I can't stand being away from the players because everything you do in coaching, I take responsibility for. Everybody thinks, well, you know, hey, this guy did this or we did this. Or that's not someone else's problem. That's my problem. That's our problem. And so that as much as anything, you know, is how am I going to fix it? How are we going to get better if I'm not around them? Because I'm sure as hell going to want the credit when we win and we do well. So I can't, you know, not take the blame when it doesn't go well. That's part of coaching. Everybody wants the credit when it goes well, and no one wants the blame. Well, that's part of what we do. So how am I going to fix it if I can't be around those guys and be around what we do day-to-day to fix it? And if we don't, we don't. But it's hard when you don't have those opportunities around your players. That's the fun you get in coaching. That's the fun someone gets in teaching. That's what you get out of mentoring, what you do when you impact people's lives, when you see a change and them develop as not only people but as players.
Talked a little bit ago about, you know, job security and how that affects both players and coaches and their families. As the losses have mounted in recent weeks, have you noticed any of the offensive players mentally checking out, or maybe you had to motivate a little bit because the losses are you know, piling up?
Oh, I haven't seen that, but I think our staff does a great job of framing it, and Dirk does a great job of framing. We all have stuff to play for. It's us on film. That's still your number. That's still the guys I coach in our offense. That's still a reflection of me. So, yeah, do you have to do more of that because you don't have the outside, hey, we're playing for a playoff berth? You know, yeah, of course that's part of it. Yeah, but that to me that hasn't been an issue. All you got to do is frame it to people. They get it. We got smart guys. They just got to have it framed to them like, hey, guys, this is – you're paid to do a job. We're paid to go out there and play. It's still about winning. It's still about competing. We haven't shown any, from our side of what I can see, anybody that just says, F it. Why start now? What about you now says, okay, I'm not going to be at my best. I'm not going to give it everything I have. What does that say about you as a man if when it's right, I'll give everything I got. When it's not, I'm going to shut it down. I have not seen that. One of our guys do that. And as coaches, I haven't seen that. And that's a credit. And that's what should be expected. I mean, it'd be a damn shame if we didn't do that. About me or anybody.
Todd, my apologies if you had this question already, but on Sunday, multiple plays of over 25 yards or more. What works so well against a good quality defense like the Panthers?
Sometimes it just goes your way. You know, I mean, that big completion to Chris where they missed a tackle and he got running. I don't even know if we hit that in the week, if we hit that exact route. I mean, sometimes it just happens and they miss a tackle and Chris has confidence with the ball in his hands, you know. One, Jameis scrambles around and throws it up to Hump. He makes a nice play with it, you know. We ran a double move and Jameis put it right on the money to Mike and Mike made a really nice catch. Scrambled to Bobo for a touchdown that we always know Jameis going to move around. Sometimes it just kind of works that way for us, a long run from Peyton. So sometimes it just happens to work that way. But again, that we've talked about it all year. I mean, you either better be really good on third downs to keep drives going or better be explosive. We were both there the same way. We have been the last few weeks. We already talked about it, being able to score touchdowns in the red zone and not turn the ball over. And that's – it's pretty simple. It's really a simple formula. Harder to get it done. Otherwise, we'd have it done. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Yep.